Listening Library presents The End of the World Club, The Jaguar Stones, Book 2, by John Volkel and Pamela Volkel. Read for you by Scott Brick. To Harry, Charlie, and Lulu, Ke Yakume X. The continuing story of a city boy, a jungle girl, and quite possibly, the end of the world as we know. The 12 Lords of Death were bored. Bored to death, in fact. For 3 Bokutons, over 1,000 years by our calendar, their power over Middleworld, the ancient Maya name for the world of mortals, had been waning. Where had they gone wrong? They were still doggedly tormenting humankind with famines, droughts, pain, sickness, and all manner of horrible diseases. But they no longer got the credit. Once everyone in Middleworld had lived in fear of them, but now no matter what hideous suffering they inflicted on the denizens of Middleworld, no one seemed to believe in them anymore. It was demotivating, to say the least. Feeling forgotten and unappreciated, the Death Lords frittered away their time in the gambling halls of Xibalba, the Maya underworld, and pined for their glory days. "Do something," they begged their boss, Apuku, the god of violent and unnatural death, ruler of Xibalba. "The mortals don't fear us anymore." "What can I do?" said Apuku, emitting one of his trademark bouts of flatulence. "We have been replaced by the new gods, money and big business."
"It's time to reassert yourself,"
urged the Lords of Death, holding their noses.
"Remind Middleworld who's in charge."
Apuku thought about it. A smile spread over his evil, bloated, pockmarked face.
"Yes, why not," he said. "When the Bokuton changes, I will seize my chance. Those idiot mortals are already fearful that the Maya calendar is about to end, and their pathetic lives with it. I will exploit their panic and bring Middleworld to its knees. All I need are my natural talents for destruction and the 5 Jaguar Stones."
Preface: The Dream. Max Murphy lay in his coffin, gasping for air. He'd been buried alive. The wooden box was exactly the same size as his body, as if it had been tailor-made for him. It smelled of pine rosin, straw, and fresh sawdust, with an undertone of cow dung. A wave of nausea swelled the rising tide of panic in Max's brain. He felt something crawling on his cheek. He went to brush it away and found he couldn't move. Everything below his neck was bound in strips of cloth, like a mummy, and his arms were pinned to his sides. He had a sense of motion, like the rolling of a ship. As the full meaning of his situation dawned on him, his blood ran cold. He was wrapped in a shroud, being carried in a coffin. It could only signify one thing. He was on his way to his own funeral.
"Let me out!" he yelled,
but his voice was muffled by the box. He strained to work his hands free of the strips of cloth. Then, gathering his strength, he curled his fists and launched them straight upward at the lid. To his surprise, it flew open easily. At first, all he saw was a gray sky and a bird of prey, a vulture hovering above him. He could hear whistling and screaming, raucous laughter, and firecrackers. He pulled off more of the bandages until he could move enough to peer over the edge of the coffin. Immediately, he locked eyes with a fluorescent green devil. All around him, hideous ghouls were thrusting their garishly painted faces at him and clicking their fat tongues. The Grim Reaper floated by, pursued by a dancing skeleton. There was a smell of burning, a screeching of bagpipes, like the sound of a cat having its claws pulled out one by one, filled the smoky air. Was this some kind of hell? Max sat up and screamed a scream to wake the dead. The light snapped on.
"Not again. Every night since we came home from St. Xavier, it is the same thing, groaned his mother, pulling a bathrobe over her nightdress as she shuffled sleepily into the bedroom. It was a dream, just another dream. I was in a coffin, began Max. Shh! His mother put a finger to her lips. With her tired eyes all red and bloodshot, she looked alarmingly like one of the ghouls in his dream. It is the middle of the night. Go back to sleep. But it was so real, Mom. There were skeletons and demons and... Were you reading about the ancient Maya again today? She interrupted. Max nodded. That is where these nightmares come from, I am sure of it. Too much bloodletting and human sacrifice. Tomorrow I am going to hide the books, and maybe we can all get a good night of sleep. No, protested Max, sitting up in bed. I need to know everything I can about the Maya. There's something I have to do. His mother opened her mouth to argue, then thought better of it. I hear you, she said, choosing her words carefully. You have made a choice to study the Maya, and I will support it. Tomorrow I will find you a book about corn. It was one of their staple foods. Max sighed. His mother had just acquired a parenting manual, her first in 14 years, and with it the annoying habit of talking in therapy speak. I wish you'd stop saying you hear me and actually listen to me, Mom. I don't need to know about corn. I need to know about the Lords of Death and their ruler, Apuku. His mother placed the back of her hand against her forehead, like a Victorian heroine about to have a fainting spell. Possibly because she was Italian, she was always a little prone to dramatics. I understand that you are exploring your identity as a pre-adult, but this Lords of Death silliness has got to stop. Her voice quavered. You are ruining the summer for everyone. Excuse me? He said in disbelief. You think I'm ruining the summer? It was you and Dad who got us into this mess. You're 14 years of age. You cannot keep blaming your father and me for everything that happens. You make us sound like bad parents. But that's exactly what you are, thought Max. Ironically, his friends thought he was lucky to be the only child of the famous archaeologists Frank and Carla Murphy. But then his friends just saw the gifts that his parents lavished on him. The video games, the laptop, the electronic drums. All peace offerings for being too busy at work to support their son at school concerts and class nights and sports meets. After the recent events in San Xavier, he was expecting a sorry for opening a portal to the Maya underworld and unleashing the forces of evil that almost killed you gift any day now. Max had long ago accepted that his parents cared more about the ancient Maya than about their own son, but recently they'd reached a new low in the history of bad parenting. He could still remember the shock of that afternoon a few weeks ago when they'd come home early from work and dropped 3 bombshells, one after the other. Boom! They'd canceled the upcoming family vacation in Italy. Boom! They were leaving there and then for a dig in San Xavier, the tiny Central American country where his father had grown up. Boom! Max's whole summer was shot to pieces. And that was it. They were gone. But their irresponsible behavior didn't end there. It turned out that his father had got his hands on a jaguar stone, one of 5 sacred carvings that supposedly gave Maya kings their special powers, and his parents had gone to San Xavier to test it out. All too predictably. Didn't adults learn anything from disaster movies? Things had spiraled out of control, and soon they'd unleashed all sorts of ancient evils into the world. And then, they'd vanished off the face of the earth. That would have been the last anyone had heard of Frank and Carla Murphy, reflected Max, if their incredibly brave and intelligent son hadn't tracked them down to Xibalba, the Maya underworld. Which was how he now found himself in negotiations with a gang of crazies called...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?